Welcome to Geek Salad, a podcast about two guys talking about their passion for anything geek, from the digital world to the not-so-digital world. Now here are your hosts, Randy and Jay, a LaRock.
Hey everybody, how's it going? We are here back for another Geek Salad, and I know it seems weird, it seems strange. No, you're not seeing double, you're actually getting a double dose of Geek Salad today. Because today, we're coming to you with an E3 show. So as always, I am here, Randy, the mischievous people, my friend here, Mr. J.A. LaRock, the obsolete gamer. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good, man. E3, there's a lot going on out there, a lot of coverage. So I loved going to E3 back in the past, but unfortunately the last couple of years I wasn't able to go, but at least I was able to watch some of the coverage online.
Yeah, I sat there, and of course with work, and it's like almost impossible for me to like get out there and go. But and I know we're a little bit late on the bringing the E3 show. You know, real life gets in the way. We got to do stuff and bring this stuff to you. But I have got to say, like, overall from what I saw, it was an insane amount of stuff that. Literally, like, it blew my mind this year with all the stuff that they announced out, the stuff that they showed. And I figure we could break it down into each of the different categories and go over what we liked and disliked. So I figure we'll start with the Big M Microsoft. For me, that they finally officially announced what Project Scorpio was. So yeah. Now we have the Xbox One X. Which it was funny because, you know, I think they said, $500, $600 for it? Which is interesting because, hey, that's what the Xbox One and the PS4, when they first came out, was going to go for. So people buy it regardless. You know they will. Now, if there was one thing that was really funny in when I watched the Microsoft press conference, it's they like to, like, basically – give out all these big numbers. It does X amount of gigaflops and this and that. And I start looking at it and laughing, and I'm like, Microsoft literally just like, it almost looked like they just like whipped it out and like laid it out on the table and said, all right, Sony, let's measure it and let's see who's this bigger. You know, with just the way that they were presenting all the big numbers and this and this and that.
It was like they're talking about someone, like if you go to one of those car shows and then people are talking about how awesome their engine,
car.
how much torque, how many RPMs, all that. It's like, that's the same thing with Microsoft.
Now, I will say this, though. The fact that they got that powerful of a console in a smaller size than what the current Xbox One, even the Xbox One S, which is already a pretty big shrink on the Xbox console, is pretty cool. My hope is, I mean, granted, they did show off like all the stuff that they're doing for cooling and all that. Like, I pray and I hope that they don't go through another red ring of death with the 360 type of a thing of these things overheating. But I really, like, in looking at it, I was going through that going, holy crap, like, you know, they really, like, went all guns blazing for the console. And if there was one thing in looking at it that I was like, at least they're doing it right, is if you play the original Xbox One games on there, it will upscale them to 1080p, which is really nice. Because that was the big debate of when the Xbox One and the PS4 came out. That, the Xbox One couldn't do 1080p. So it's nice to see that they're scaling up the games. Of course, you're going to have, like, amazing 4K gaming with that, which, for me, I don't care because I don't have a 4K TV yet. You know, in the future, I'll get one.
Well, they're getting cheaper. I mean, Black Friday, yeah. You saw some pretty cheap ones. I mean, yeah, they may not have been, like, name brand as, like, Westinghouse or something, but still, I know some people that purchased them. They look good.
And that's a big thing is, like, even, like you say, like, those Westinghouse ones, like, if you really look at who actually manufactures those TVs, like, it's usually one of the big manufacturer ones. That's their just, like, smaller division and stuff. But all the parts that go into it is, it's almost like that, was it the Zohan movie that Adam Sandler, that this guy made? It's like, oh, it's Sony Guts, you know? It's like the same thing. Yeah, it's, you don't mess with the Zohan. No, it's Sony Guts. It's okay.
I'm also impressed about the 42 games that's going to be available, 22 of which are exclusive. I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty exciting. Now, did they say, I don't remember how many would be at launch?
That didn't really, like, say. But, like you said, the fact that they're doing 44 games, 22, half of which are exclusives, is really, really nice. One that, for me, was, when they announced it, was pretty interesting, was the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds coming to the Xbox One X as an exclusive. Now, interesting thing is, they made it sound like, oh, it's only coming out for Xbox One X, but, you know, of course, announcements get made, internet goes digging around like they do, and they found out, oh, it's only like a, I think it's like a 6 month or 8 month exclusive to Xbox before it comes out on Sony. So yeah, my Sony fans, don't worry, it is coming. You just have to wait a little bit.
How do you feel about exclusive? Because, you know, I think about back in the day when you had the Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, and yeah, you had a few exclusive, but it seemed like it was much less. Like, you had, like, of course, their signature, like Sonic for Genesis, and you had Mario for Nintendo. But then you had a lot more that crossed over, even though back then, because of limitations of one or the other, or even in the case of, like, Mortal Kombat, blood on one and sweat on the other, it was differences, but you still got most of the same. Nowadays, it's like you said, it's not even exclusive. It's just, like, 8 months. Like, do you think that really helps? Do you think someone's saying, I'm going to get that Xbox first so I can get that 8 months earlier?
Like, so here, my big thing on, like, the exclusive thing, like you said, like, way back in the day, it was something that sold your system, you know? And if you sit there and you look at it, as one really big example was Final Fantasy back in the day. You only had Final Fantasy on Nintendo consoles, to the point where Genesis had to create their own franchise in Phantasy Star to kind of compete with Final Fantasy. Now, back in those times, getting that exclusive deal and all that for a system like that, when you literally only had like two consoles, was huge because, you know, those consoles sold a good amount. Nowadays, if you look at it, you have Xbox, you have PlayStation, you have Nintendo. And then if you really push into it with Nintendo, you have the DS, which is the mobile market. You have the Vita, which is a dying, a tragic, slow death, I think, at this point. But there's a lot more consoles out on the market. And the thing I think what's really big with this is cost to make these games keeps going up and up and up and up to make these, like, huge games. So you can't do like the old days, which is like, okay, I'm going to use Sony. You're going to be my exclusive or only coming out on your system. Because, like, you literally cut yourself out of 2/3 of the market or even more of what's available out there. So it's nice to see, like, oh, Microsoft paid a good chunk of money so that they got this exclusivity to 8 months. But I think it's something that, like you said, it's going to continue to be just like that, where it's just going to be a certain amount of time, because these publishers can't afford to just cut out the other main consoles. Like, you can't.
Yeah. And you see, like, when people are discussing it, like, they're doing the whole console war thing, you'll see the post where someone will be like, oh, well, we have this game and this game on the PlayStation. Oh, we have this game and this game on the Xbox. I think that what happens is, at some point, if you're really a gamer, you're going to end up getting both anyway. So I guess it does work. But then you got the PC, too. So it's like, oh, well, this game is only on the PC. So I guess they know what they're doing. Each side is like, hey, you know what? We're technically fighting against each other, but we're also trying to make it so they buy both.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, it goes to show you, like, a lot of the times, like, how good some of the games are. Like, my biggest example was The Last of Us. The Last of Us came out on the PS3, exclusive to Sony. Why? Because it was done by an in-house developer for Sony themselves. That game, I think, is, like, ranks as probably, if not my, like, top game, like, it's up there. It's easily top three or top four. But I love the game so much. Had such a great story. I played it and beat it on the PS3, traded it in, and then bought out the remastered version on the PlayStation 4 because it's such a great game. And that, like you said, it's that type of thing of, like, how can I get these people to keep giving me money for the same kind of, like, game? I mean, think about all the Uncharted games. They literally came out with 1, 2, and 3 on the PlayStation 3, came out with that remastered pack that had all three games on the PS4, and then they came out with the fourth one on the PlayStation 4. It's like, how many people that had already bought 1, 2, and 3 on the PS3 bought the remaster pack on the PlayStation 4?
Yeah, you know? And, you know, you bring up some interesting points. Like, when you talked about how back in the day it forced Sega to come up with their own thing, I guess that's good for innovation. Mm-hmm. If you have, like, in your in-house developers and you see that one side has a game that a lot of people like and then you develop something like it, I think that's great, even if that's exclusive. So I guess maybe my beef isn't with exclusives in general. It's more if it's a third party and they just say, you know what, I'm going to give it to you, or I'm going to give it to you for X amount of time. It's like, why at that point? You know, it's not right. Like it's made by Sony or made by Microsoft. It's like, what's the point?
I think with that, if you look at it, is two things happen. Number one, builds up the hype for this new game. And then it turns into a, hey, like, I got a commodity that both of you guys want. Who's willing to pay more to have all the cool kids play it first and possibly buy one of their systems? Like, that's, I think, what they're doing now with it is it's more of, like, one of those little, like, baits for fishing. Like, they got this thing that is going to be huge. And I think that, where you look at it, is that's where the double-edged sword is. You built up all this hype for this one IP. It's a third-party IP. Now, am I willing to take that gamble and put my money where my mouth is and say, I want to lock you down for 8 months? And then, does it go good? Does it go bad? Like, that's the thing. Is, I mean, I know I have, and I'm sure you have, like, how many that you can think of these games that built up all this hype that were third-party things, that they had these exclusive deals, and then the game came out, and it just... And it wasn't that great of a game. And it was, and it just sank that development company. I mean, I sit there and I think about that, what was it, that Too Human that came out. That they had planned three games in the series, and they were like building up this hype and blah, 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 blah. And the first game came out, and everyone was like, what the heck was this? And it was a shame, because you look at that developer and their game before that, which was that that Sanity game that was on the GameCube. I can't even remember what the title is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was their first game. And that game, like, I remember playing that game, and on numerous occasions, that game got me so good with those things that it would do when your character's sanity would, like, start to lose a bit. Like, my favorite one was one where I was going around and you walk into this room, and inside the room, it literally has you standing at the door, and there's literally two zombies within, like, literally they take two steps and they're on top of you. And all of a sudden the freaking game pops up a thing that says, please reconnect controller one. And I swear, I'm sitting there, like, I come in the room, I see the zombies, I'm like, oh, gotta run. I'm hitting back to turn around, and I see this message, and I almost dived at the damn GameCube when, like, I like, look down, and I realize, like, wait, the controller's plugged in, and I look up at the screen, and all of a sudden it did the little thing where you hear the laugh, and it goes back to normal, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to throw this game out the window.
Wait, was that game Eternal Darkness?
Eternal Darkness, yes, that was it. That was a game. That game, it was such a good game too, man. It's a shame they never made a sequel to that game. But, let's do, okay, so since we already touched on this, we'll go to who I think was second best, the Big N Nintendo. Surprised the hell out of me with all the announcements that they did. Number one, for what was coming out on the Switch, as well as what's coming out on the DS. What blew me away, new Nintendo side, or new Metroid side scroller on the DS, which looks great. The fact that they're coming out with Metroid Prime 4 on the Switch is going to be crazy.
All we got was a picture of the logo title. That's it. And people were going crazy.
And people were going nuts. The other thing that I've got to say, like, although I had my kind of doubts of Mario Odyssey, and I had my doubts because, I mean, there's people that are out there like, it's a Mario game, it's going to be great, it's true, But at the same time, it's like you never know. Like, I God knows how many times have we seen that they have huge franchises that they come out with a game, and you're like, I don't know about that. Like, I think they really like put all the fears that people had to rest with that with the gameplay and all that they showed of the game itself. I really like that whole like you can throw the hat and hit something with it, and then you possess them and you become them. I thought that was kind of cool. And I mean, it's like I wanted to get a Switch, regardless, because I want to get the Zelda. But now it's like now seeing all these announcements for games that are coming out, it's like okay, I definitely really want to do get a Switch now.
I think with Mario Odyssey, it kind of, at least for me, takes me back to the when it came out on the GameCube.
And, N64.
I'm sorry, yeah, N64. And you were like, wow, instead of bouncing around, you're here in the castle, and the castle is so huge, and there's so much to do in this castle. It's like you get that feeling with Mario Odyssey. And, of course, you had other games like Mario Galaxy and stuff where you traveled around as well. But I don't know, this just, it seems different. It seems like it's going to bring back that wonder that you had back with the N64.
And I think like the thing that was funny is everybody thought like when they first showed that like real world that he was in with the regular people, everyone had those like scary flashbacks of that Sonic game that was kind of the same thing. And they were like, oh no, don't tell me they did this with Mario. And then you find out like, no, that's not the main world. That's just like one of the worlds that you visit. And then everybody went, oh, thank God.
Oh yeah. That's the one where like the military was chasing after Sonic and he's like fighting military guys and stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
what the hell?
It was like that was the game that was like, what in the world did they do with the Sonic franchise at that point, man? It was just like, oh God.
It kind of reminded me like what happened with Resident Evil. I mean, not only the movies but the games too. It's like, I understand you have to innovate, but it seemed like, man, in the beginning it was great, the mystery, the solving puzzles, and the shooting. It's like you had so much, and you know, of course you had. Up like a lot of people love Codename Veronica. That was great too.
That was a good one.
But then it started getting to the point where it's like, it was almost just a regular shooter, mm-hmm. And it's like at this point, the monsters are just super mutated where you have to like shoot them like 50,000 times to kill them. I don't honestly, the idea of shooting down a monster like that, to me, makes it less scary, because yeah, you had monsters like I remember in the original. First you were fighting like zombie type people and the dogs, and then when the what are they called, the hunters, the lurkers or whatever,
when they came out,
then it was like, oh my God, I gotta put a lot of bullets in this. But at the same time it was like, well, maybe you need to run from them instead. And then in future games it's like, well, let me just, I got a shotgun, I got a machine gun, I'm sit here shooting this thing like 50 times with bullets. It's like it made it less, I was more scared in one than I ever was in, you know, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, and that was the thing that I think, now that you say that, that was the original Resident Evil. Like, for me, Resident Evil, along with, like, Hitman, two of my favorite franchises. And I remember one of the things of the original Resident Evil is I literally played through probably 3/4 of the game, maybe farther than that. And like you said, you go around and you're like, oh, all these creatures, I'm going to shoot them all. And you realize, like, you get 3/4 of the game and you're like, okay, I have a handgun with one bullet in it and a knife. Everything else I don't have ammo for, and I still have to go and kill all these zombies and kill all these hunters. And, like, there's no way you could do it. Like, I literally kept it repeatedly dying, and then that's when I realized, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to start from the beginning again, only this time. I'm going to be weary of what I spend my bullets on, you know, and that's how you learn. And like you said, like I've played essentially everything, every single Resident Evil game. And like you said, is it went from this, like, I don't know what I'm doing survival horror game to, okay, cool. It's a scary survival horror game with a good story. And then like, as it's gone, like I honestly think one and two were the peak of Resident Evil. 3 was when it, like, it was the same as 1 and 2, but the story was, I think, a little bit weaker than 1 and 2, because it was that one where it filled in the gaps in between 1 and 2 and stuff like that. Like, I think they just wanted to they did that more of a, people had questions of like, well, I wonder what happened and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, well, this is what happened. And it was nice that it completely gave the whole story like a full circle and you understood it all. And then you had Code Veronica, phenomenal game. I love that game. And then they really, I think they blew it out of the water with Resident Evil 4. Like, that was a good innovation to the game. It wasn't too actiony, but at the same time, it still kept that like horror that made Resident Evil Resident Evil. And I think for them, 5 and 6, like you said, that was where it sat there and just completely switched around. Like, for me, when I played Resident Evil 5, I realized, oh, number one, when you got to a certain part in the game, you literally had to do specific things, but it would continually spawn guys. So all you really had to do was, and you could trap the guys almost. So it was like, all you had to do is like keep going back and forth to have it generate guys, trap them, kill them, and then just keep doing that until it just kept giving you ammo and ammo and ammo and ammo and ammo until you were like, all right, I'm good. And then you can go on to the next section and not have to worry about dying. And it was just like, I remember playing 5 and 6 going, oh my God, they sat there and they took this way, 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 way far away from what it was. Or was it 6 and 7? I don't know what it was on, but, or no, it was 6.
No, 5 and 6, yeah.
And then I got 7 once seeing that whole thing, and I was just like, oh, crap. And, I mean, I haven't played through it. Like, it's been a while since I played it. I got to go back and play it. And, like, me and my wife love playing Resident Evil games, and we'll play them together. And, yo, when you talk about, like, they brought the horror back to the game, I remember watching Twitch streamers playing Resident Evil 7 and getting to these jump scare moments. And then me playing him, and I'm like, oh, I'm in this area. It's going to happen. And still getting scared by it. Like, goes to show you how well they went back to this, like, horror thing.
I liked it, too. 7 really brought it back to the original. I mean, you still had some enemies that you had to put way too many bullets in that just seem a little bit too crazy. But it was good, from the house to the ship, whatever. I thought the story, the pictures... I guess the only thing that kind of like was weird was like how much damage you would take and how you heal yourself. Oh, yeah. I admit that was just so funny. It's like at one point he's like stabbing you up, chopping you up, blood's flying everywhere, and you're like, oh my God, you pull out some like rubbing alcohol. You're like, ah.
Well, that was the thing that I laughed at. I'm like, oh, it's nice to see that somebody can cut your hand off and you could just staple it back on and pour a little bit of hydrogen peroxide on it and you're good to go.
Kids, don't try this at home.
But that game, like, I really, like I haven't even gotten, like, I know it's supposedly go onto a ship, and I've heard that's, like, where story-wise it turns, like, a bit weaker. But, like, if there was one thing of the story of Resident Evil 7 that I thought was, like, holy crap, like, it looks so cool when it happens, is when you would run into your wife and she'd be normal, and then all of a sudden she'd, like, turn into that, like, crazy... like the family and come after you. I was like, wow, they really did a good job of like, you see her personality just completely switch and go nuts and chase down after you and try and kill you and stuff. Like it's amazing. And then rounding out, well, I'll save the best for last of what I thought. Like Microsoft, I think for consoles did the best. Nintendo second. Have to go to Sony, as my third. Got the bronze for the award. Our honorable mention, because the gold medal will go to the PC gaming, I will say, because hey, you know, we're PC gamers and that's how we are. Sony this year, although they did mention like some good games that are coming out, I mean, they're bringing back Crash Bandicoot, which is cool. I honestly felt like it was like the weakest like press conference and everything out of all of them. Like it was really nice that they showed off like a bunch of the games and things that they're doing. And if there was one thing that got announced for PS4 that I was like, finally, was they're bringing Monster Hunter back home to the Sony. Yeah. And I found out apparently that they're doing a PC version of it too, which is going to be cool. But they said like when it launches, it's only going to be PS4, and then they're going to be releasing the PC one at a different date. Even though we didn't get to see really any gameplay or anything like that, like, honestly, really, 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 really cool, like, what they did show, which looked amazing. And that looks like it's going to be insane.
I think that the problem is Sony had such a good reveal of stuff in 2016 that it'd be kind of hard to top that unless they're coming out and saying, oh, I got a new console and this and that. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
And there was so much released by everyone else. It's like, I knew that after seeing some of the other press conferences that people are going to be like, oh, okay, Sony, what do you got?
Yeah. And that was the thing about it is, like, I almost feel like with the big Sony Microsoft thing, like, I really think Sony revealed their cards way too early on the PS4 Pro. Like, I honestly think, like, they probably could have put a little more time into it and come out with a better console. Because one of the biggest things, if I have to say, if there's one drawback to the PS4 Pro, is, yes, you get 4K gaming, but only 30 frames a second, whereas the Xbox One X is going to do 60 frames of 4K. And, I mean, people, just like me, they always have that argument of, like, it doesn't matter if it's 30 or 60 frames. Like, you can tell a difference. You can honestly tell the difference between 30 frames and 60 frames. Like, especially, like, if you coming from a PC gaming point of view, you can tell the difference. Like, you can tell when your game is running closer to 30 frames than when it's going 60. Like, but, like, there were little things here and there. Like, I like that they showed more Kingdom Hearts 3, which was really, really nice. That's a game that, honestly, like, you can't go wrong with that, with those games. Kingdom Hearts has always been, like, a really big showing for that. I'm trying to think what else I like.
Yeah, on the Xbox, some of the games that are going to be coming out, well, of course, Forza. I mean, it's weird because that seems like the kind of game that you get, show off the graphics, and then stop playing unless you're really into racing or really into, like, cars. But, I mean, I'm looking through the list. Oh, the Minecraft 4K, that was also cool. I mean, a lot of people still love Minecraft. It's still going strong. Some of these other titles, like, I haven't researched, like, all these games, but I'm just looking through some of them. I'm like, okay, it could be decent. I mean, there's nothing out there, at least for me, that's like, oh, my God, it's going to be awesome. It's like the same thing, like, with the Star Wars Battlefront 2. It's like... The only thing that was really interesting to me is, like, they're saying all the content that comes out is going to be free. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that means, like,
I mean,
any of the maps or patches, or I don't see them giving up DLC.
Now, the like, yeah, so that was my big thing, was, like, they showed off the DLC for Uncharted, which looked good. Now, if there was one game that I will say, like, now we got to see a little bit more of it and it looked interesting, was Days Gone. That game is starting to look interesting to me, especially with what they showed, where you could sit there and sneak around and you could see a horde of those, like, zombie creatures or whatever the heck they are, and then go around and, like, create a noise, like, a lot of noise, and they'll come over and they'll, like, go through an encampment of other survivors and stuff. Like, that was really interesting in how they showed that off. But that's the one that's caught my eye at least the most from Sony.
Something else that was interesting was Anthem. That's the RPG game coming out from BioWare.
Yeah,
it's been a while, and it's cool because I was looking at the gameplay trailer, and it kind of gives you that feel of, like, a shooter, but you still have that exploration factor into it, so
yeah, that
looks like it'll be interesting as well.
The other big thing that I will say, I'll bring it up in the PC one. So for me, my top thing had to be in what they showed off for the PC stuff. Now, one of the things that I will say, definitely, Star Wars Battlefront 2, holy crap. It finally looks like this is going to be the game that everybody wanted with the first Battlefront.
Yeah.
Like, that for me, like, just watching the gameplay and seeing what they put out there, like, it looks crazy.
Yeah, I mean, just the idea, like what you were talking about before, how you could be fighting on the ground, and then you want to be able to actually go into space, fight. You see a plane come down and crash on the ground that was fighting in space. I mean, that's the kind of war that we should have by now. Because I mean, remember playing Planetside, and you would have those big battles, and you'd have things flying around. It's time that we really have that kind of a full warfare-type battle going on, especially in Star Wars.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, I like the fact that, like, they changed, like, now you have classes. They changed the way that the heroes work, which that was, like, the only thing I remember in the first Battlefield or Battlefront, that it was like, okay, I see what you kind of, like, did where it was, like, a pickup, but then at the same time it was like, eh. Like, it wasn't anything really cool. I mean, although it quickly became like when at first you'd sit there and be playing, and all of a sudden you'd hear that Lord Vader has appeared on the battlefield, and you'd be like, oh, crap. And then it turned into the Lord Vader's on the battlefield. Okay, everybody aim your guns at Vader. And it was just like you would get bombarded with laser fire, and you'd last a whole 20 seconds, and you were done. Like, you couldn't even do anything. Yeah. But, like, what they showed looked really, 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 really interesting. The other thing that I will have to say, what they showed off, which looked cool, they showed off Fortnite, which looked pretty cool. And I have heard from people, they say, like, oh, it's like 7 Days to Die, only a little bit different. Like, one of the things that I saw with Fortnite that I thought was really cool is I like the fact that you go through and you collect your resources, but at the same time, every so often the zombies show up. But then the fact that when they're pushing at night and they start destroying your walls and all that, how you could literally go and then rebuild the walls while they're still pushing, I thought was really cool. And I like how they set it up where you could build it how you want it. So you could build a fort that has like a ton of sniper towers, and you just start sniping all the guys. Or you could just put a ton of traps. You know, like, they really thought this out, and it looks like they took the Gears of War Horde mode, which was super fun to play, and then just changed the creatures in it, and then just made it like, okay, cool, you can even put better, even more defenses than you could have in, like, the Gears of War. I think they're going to have a hit with that one right there. And the other thing that I will say that, like, being a person that plays it pretty much all the time, the announcements and what they showed off for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds looks crazy, the vaulting stuff that they showed. Now, my only big thing that I will say of this, number one, they showed off the vaulting stuff. Number two, they showed off a new SMG that's going to use 7.62 ammunition, which is going to be cool. My only concern with the vaulting, A, great that they're going to put that in. Only thing that I had heard grumblings of was apparently early on they were talking about that they wanted to do the vaulting system but then put the jumping system in, and that once they implement the vaulting system in, they're going to remove jumping. Which, for me, I don't think they should remove the jumping, because I tend to, right now, will use the jumping if I'm on one of those three-story buildings that has a roof, to basically jump off the roof onto the balcony from the second floor and then down off the hook. It's a quick way to get off a building. And in case you're trying, you know, people are trying to pinch you or they're coming up into the building, you can escape and try and get away. If they remove the jumping, I think it's going to hurt the game more than anything. And I would love to see if you could attempt to vault a vehicle if somebody's trying to run you over, and see what, like, some of the funny results of, like, somebody trying to vault and getting nailed by the windshield and getting launched 90 feet into the air or whatever.
That makes some good compilation videos.
Oh, dude. I think one of my favorite things that I've seen that's hilarious was a video of the streamer where they were literally, it was a full four squad. Each of them had their own vehicles. And it was three of the Jeeps, and one guy had the little sedan. And they were just driving around, like, they're trying to, like, just going around because the circle was coming in. They wanted to see where it was going to go before they all drove off. And then they're driving around. They're going full speed. And one of the Jeeps rams the little sedan. And, yo, this sedan launches 1,000 feet into the air. And it was so funny because the streamer was like, oh my God, I'm launched 1,000 feet in the air. He's like, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. And literally this thing drops, hits the ground. He only loses a quarter of his life. And he's like, no, I'm good. It does like a couple barrel rolls and then lands on its roof. And he's like, oh, I wonder if we could flip it. So these guys start taking turns driving this Jeep and ramming it into the sedan to see if they could just get it to roll over. When they finally make a like good contact with it, it ended up launching it up into the air, like a good 30 feet above the ground. It spun it slowly over, and he ended up crashing the thing down, and literally from the impact, it lit on fire. And he's like, oh my God, it's on fire! And he had to jump out of the car before it blew up. And I was like, oh my God, that is so hilarious. Other than that, like the fact that they're bringing Monster Hunter to PC, I may be that person that I will buy it for PS4 and then buy it again on PC. And it looks interesting enough that it almost seems like they're going more MMO-ish on it. But it's going to be an interesting thing this year for E3, like at least what I saw.
And some of the games I was looking at, you know, like Evil Within 2, the new Wolfenstein, the new Colossus, and even Age of Empires. I haven't played that in a little while, but you know, I really like that. You know, the company, the game. So it's cool to see that keep going, and then XCOM 2, a new DLC for XCOM 2. So
yeah, the new Wolfenstein game was a surprise. I have the New Order one, and that one's a pretty fun game. But yeah, Age of Empires is going to be interesting to see. I guess there was so much stuff. Like, I know we missed out on a lot of stuff, but it was so much. There was way too much stuff, as always. The one thing that surprised me that didn't make an appearance was Death Stranding. They didn't go over that. And interestingly enough, Konami didn't show off any more of their Metal Gear Solid zombie survival horror one as well, which is interesting. That's going to be one of those, like, I laugh at reading these articles of like Hideo Kojima and their interview him, and you know, like more and more stuff keeps coming out about Konami, and the fact that he's like, I had nothing to do with that. And he's basically just saying, like, when that thing sucks, I didn't do it.
Yeah, also missing Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yes. That's true. Surprise, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see more info come out later for that, because, you know, the hype train's already building for that one right now. You know. And right now, everybody's doing the whole, like, they need to come out with that game on PC. Like, they haven't even come out with the original one on PC yet.
Yeah, right?
Which that was a phenomenal game. But yeah, dude. That's what I got for my E3 input. You have anything else to add, my friend?
Honestly, I pretty much agree with everything else that you said. I mean, obviously there's some other games that I'm not like crazy about. Like a friend of ours loves FIFA. So the new FIFA 18. Of course, another Madden. Need for Speed, things like that. But most of those games that you mentioned, it's the same one. I'm really interested to see what's going to be happening with the Switch, because first I was the same kind of person. I never got into the Wii because I just knew I wouldn't like it. Like, when so many people were talking about how you could buy old Nintendo games for the Wii, that pretty much told me everything I wanted to know. Same thing with the Wii U, but man, I've played and I've seen like Zelda, I've played the Mario Kart, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm really interested to see what else happens with the Switch, because at this point, I mean, I haven't bought a console in years. Let me just put it like this. Mm-hmm. Xbox 360 was the last thing I bought. I don't own an Xbox One. I don't own a PS4. Now, yes, I have friends that do and I go and play it there, but I've never just felt the need to get it, especially being a PC gamer. Mm-hmm. But with the Switch, you know, if there's a little deal or a bundle, I'll probably pick it up.
I think what is got going for the Switch is the fact that, A, you have a home console and a portable console at the same time. You know, so I think that's what makes the Switch so appealing. And I will, and now I just realize as the final thing I want to bring up, which it was oh, you guys will understand what I say. The WTF moment of the whole E3, if I will say. Do yourself a favor, sit down for I think it's an hour and a half, and watch the Devolver Digital presentation. It is the one thing that you will start watching, and about 15, 20 minutes into it, you're going to be like, what am I watching? Because I don't know if you saw it, but oh my God, it is... From the moment where they had the woman up on stage and start talking, and then she starts repeating her words and literally starts bleeding out of her nose. And I'm telling you, you have to see it. You have to see it. You will sit there and watch it and be like, what did I just watch? Because it is so like strange and goes off on this like tangent. But it is the best presentation of that show. Because and it was cool because they did show off like a bunch of their stuff that they're coming out with, and it is, I can see it in the reflections in your glasses. I can see you looking it up right now.
It is
hilarious, dude. Hilarious. Definitely the biggest WTF moments of E3. I will say this cringeworthiest moment had to go to E3 at them getting all these like streamers and YouTube personalities to do their presentation. And it was the weirdest thing ever, like the most cringeworthy, like you could tell these guys are reading a script moments at E3.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I saw you get to that point where like you see the screen flicker and everything. Like I'm telling you, you're going to watch that and you'll be like, what in the world did I just finish watching?
It's funny because when I put that in the search, I'm looking at that, and you just see a long list, and you see pictures of the lady, and all types of memes and stuff. And then at the bottom of the first page for Google, it says Devolver Digital cancels its E3 indie picnic event.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was so funny.
Oh my God, they're the ones that were behind General Jousting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's some crossover from You Don't Get the Show right there.
Yeah, exactly. But it is so funny because, like I said, it just starts going off on this like tangent and you're wondering, where is this going? But it is so great. But yeah, that was that was great, man. Oh, man. Well, at least we got the second show wrapped up and ready to go.
That's right.
Yeah, baby. All right. And, well, that's what we have for you guys. If you guys have any other games that you guys like from E3, definitely put them down in the comments. We'll be back as soon as we can. Like I said, hopefully life will not get in the way too much for us, and we can do these on a more regular schedule.
Definitely.
But, yeah, guys, keep those comments coming. Keep the views coming. We'd love to hear your guys' feedback. But, yeah, until then. Get out there and keep playing them games, guys.
Peace. Thanks for watching.
Peace.